I'm incarnation where them Cardinals at. With them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-S, let's go.
Play a Cardinal game, get a Cardinal start. Play a Cardinal strong, leave a Cardinal mark. And if you get Cardinal love,
welcome to this week's episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Brought to you by the Jamon Brown Foundation. By the way, we just saw him on TV. They just came up short from a victory over Lamar and the Ravens. But we are brought to you by the Jamon Brown Foundation. And we are coming to you live from the Custom Multicade Studio. I'm your host, Jeremy Wahman. I'm sitting with my man here, Mr. Burgoo, Sean Barber.
How's it going?
Mr. Relaxation, Sam Basden.
What up?
The big titty slapper, Joe Wahman.
Get that titty lit up, Hig.
He's about to chop you today, Higgy. No, we don't want that to be taken out of context. We're not talking, Sean, hold your ears. We're not talking about anything bad. So, the blue chipper, Dalton Pence.
Yo, yo.
And the notorious H.I.G.
Hello, Higgy, everybody.
I did not cue you yet, Higgy. A.K.A. Higgy Two Snacks. Higgy.
What up?
Okay, they didn't want to listen to you the first time. I doubt they
AKA
did.
A.K.A. Red Titty.
He's gonna get that red meat today. Shout out to all of our fine sponsors: Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, the Jamon Brown Foundation. We appreciate you all. We got a lot to talk about this week. We're gonna recap the Notre Dame game yesterday, which wasn't as bad as all of us had predicted. We're gonna preview a team that we thought. A game that we thought was going to be easier that now doesn't look as easy in FSU. We got Dalton with some recruiting update. And we got, what else do we got, Higgy? Since you like to print these double-sided, they run together. So we just got a variety of stuff to go to. So first off, real quick, for everybody who has been getting a hold of me the last couple weeks, me and Joey would like to say thank you for checking in on Pops. He's current update, he's not doing as well as we hoped he would, but we do hope that they're going to get this figured out and get him on the road to recovery pretty soon. So, but shout out to everybody that's been asking about it. We really do appreciate the love. Dad, I know you're going to listen to this, so be patient. We know you're not real good at that, but be patient, keep fighting, and we'll get you taken care of.
And don't throw stuff across the room.
Yeah, please stop harassing the nurses by throwing stuff at them. That's not going to get you taken care of better. All right, let's jump right in. Notre Dame recap. My thoughts of the game, the defense came to play yesterday. The offense sputtered again. I'm not really sure what's going on there. Malik's throwing woes continue. That's the big thing that happened yesterday. The onside kick rules, I've never heard of that. We are an onside kick away from winning that game yesterday. It very, very aggravating. We had a lot of success on fourth down yesterday. And I will say this, and this can be, you can listen to the show, when everybody was like, fire all the coaches. I told you all, this team was better than we were showing. I do believe our defense stepped up yesterday and showed us what I thought has been there all along. The offense is actually doing the opposite. We're going to go ahead and do like we did last week, an open forum on Notre Dame. We're going to put 3 minutes on the clock. Let me grab my clock real quick. 3 minutes on the clock. Sam, I'm going to let you go first just because I try to be fair. 3 minutes on the clock and go.
Okay, so like you said, the defense came to play, which is why I kind of told Joey last week that I disagree when he said that we don't have the players that can play at this level. We do. I've always felt that way. I'm just more or less disappointed in our coaching. there's no other way to say it. We have to find a way to cure Coach Satterfield or whoever's playing, calling the offense from wanting to run the ball on first down every time. Because in the second half, when we came out and we did a play action on a couple of first downs, we ran up and down the field. So we got to add some more versatility to our offense. And I've been saying for the last 2-3 weeks now, we spread them out. Three, four wide receivers or three wide receivers and a tight end, make the defense show you, hey, we have four in the box or we have six in the box, and depending on how much they have in the box, that lets you know whether you go to a pass or to a run. So I think that's what we need to do, because what they're doing is they're putting our offensive linemen and our quarterback and our running backs at a, they're doing them a disservice by continuously trying to run the ball on first down when everyone in the world know it's a first down play, it's a first down run. So don't do that to your players. So I feel that we have the players that we on offense, especially the weapons on offense, that we could do a whole lot better job than we're doing right now. And for all that's said about Mikhail or Malik's throwing ability, he did win 16 for 19, I think. He had 3 incompletions, which is not bad, but he didn't really stretch the field like you wanted him to do. But we've got to get better at executing our players on offense and having some diversity on offense so that we can open up the offense and get some more points on the board and utilize the weapons that we have. And that's going to be, I'm cut that short. I'm not going to take the whole 3 minutes.
That's fair. We'll go to 2 minutes for the next round. But, you know, now, Joey, did you say we didn't have the players? Or I think you were referring to a couple specific players that you weren't going to name their names.
Right.
You didn't say the whole defense wasn't ready to play at that level. You said there were a couple of players. Just to be fair to Joey, Sean, I'm going to, again, that's a great point, because I think last week everybody but Dalton went 2 minutes. So
I'll keep my 3.
I know you will. Sean, we're going to give you 2.
I could probably go 3 this week.
All right, we'll give everybody else 3. Sean, I'll go ahead and give you 3. Go ahead. Your thoughts on the game yesterday?
Well, the defense showed up. The secondary, who's been much maligned, showed up. Especially Cottrell Clark. He's proving to be a great pickup. Offensively, they're going to – I agree with Sam. They're going to have to change up something. I understand that Coach Satterfield is like – he reminds me – remember in the movie Herman Boone was like, I run 6 plays. And remember the Titans. I run 6 plays. That's what I run. I run it all the time. I'm going to keep running it because eventually it's like Novocaine. It's going to work. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what he does. That's how he views it. I'm going to run what I run, and it's going to work eventually. But it's not happening. It's just not. And I think part of it is – you're missing, once again, how many times I said that? We're missing Mekhi Becton, because when we needed yards last year, who do we go behind? We went behind Mekhi Becton every time. We were guaranteed to get yards because he could block sometimes 2 guys in 1 play. But other than that, I liked what I saw out of the team as a whole. Even Mikhail or Malik played better.
Yeah, but he still had some wobbly errant throw. And I get the – okay, he was 16 out of 19, but when like 4 or 5 of those were easy throws and catches to make, and he made them more difficult than they needed to be, I just wish I knew what was wrong. I do not know what's wrong. Now, obviously, I know I'm taking some, I'll give you your time back. We all predicted this to be a very high scoring game. The total points that of the game, what was the total?
12-7, 19
points. So 19 points. I think that we predicted that Louisville would score more than that themselves. Yeah. So, and then we predicted that Notre Dame was going to go ape crap on us. So, go ahead. Continue. I apologize.
So, I did like
the
fact.
And your time's up. I'm just kidding.
I did like the fact that Javon Hawkins was involved in the passing game. I did like that. That's utilizing him in a different way. I wish we would get Dez more involved, because I think he's open more, and we're just not finding him. Tutu had, his normal good game. I just hope we can hit some of these big plays that we've been missing. We have missed a lot of big plays this season.
True.
And I'm telling you, if you hit these big plays that we've been missing, it's a whole different ball game. Our record's a whole different record. That's basically what you've been saying. It's a few plays if you hit, where it's a whole different ball game.
And to be fair, Dez had a couple drops yesterday. So, I mean, he was being targeted yesterday, unlike the other game. So, I do like to see that is that's going into play. Yes, Joseph.
No, I want to go next.
Okay.
Before I forget all my stuff.
Sean's still got 36 seconds. Are you done?
I'm done. All
right.
Because I'm getting older and I forget.
All right, go.
All right. So, I'm going to echo that I saw some fire and some fight out of the defense yesterday. Monty Montgomery came to play. He set the tone for that whole defense early on in the ball game. followed up. You know, everybody else. We had, what, four sacks? Hold on, let's see here. Yeah, four sacks, six tackles for loss. That's probably more than we've had all season out of that defense. Keytrell Clark was getting his hands on balls, defending them. One of them went through his hands like he really should have intercepted.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the tight end kind of dropped his face mask.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They did. But, I mean, it was right there in his hand. But either way, I mean, still, we've not been making those plays. We've not even been close enough to the receiver
to make those
to get our hands on the ball. So, kudos to the defense. Offensively, I am getting – and I get it, Herman Boone, I don't even care. Six plays, Novocaine, yada, yada. Who cares? We've been doing the same damn thing for 2 years. Run on first down, lose 3 yards. Run on second down, lose two more yards, and we got third and 15. It just gets frustrating. Now, I will say this. Second half, we came out, we scored, right? First drive.
First drive.
Guess what? Dez was open. Dez has been open. But guess who finally started looking his way to throw him the ball? Malik did. It ain't got anything to do with that. With it, but that Malik is not looking for anybody
but
Tutu Atwell. And if I'm Tutu, I'm like, dude, I would be telling him, I appreciate it. I appreciate you trying to get me the ball, but I'm tired of losing. We got other guys. You know, if it'd be different if we had Tutu and Kentucky's receivers. I'll give you $2 for it. I don't care. If we had Tutu and a bunch of blocking receivers, I'm sorry.
There you go.
But we don't. We've got enough guys to spread the ball around the field, yes, and get Javion, you know, the ball out of the backfield.
Javion should be mad at Malik for that throw.
Oh, yeah.
That's a touchdown.
But,
you know, no, I'm talking about when, and I'll give you your 4 or 5 seconds back. At
on the fake screen.
I'm talking about the fake screen where Malik saw that he was about to get murdered, threw the ball to him anyway, and then he got murdered.
Yeah. But it's just the play calling just gets – I mean, we last season when we were doing the podcast, what did I complain about every time? These runs that we just waste yards. And somebody, I won't point an elbow, was like, well, you know, sometimes that, you know, you run that to set up other stuff. We're 1-4.
No.
We're not setting nothing up but tackles for loss and third and longs. At some point, you got to change it up. It's not working. You know what I'm saying? This season, Novocaine ain't working.
The body's used to it.
Yeah. So they know what we're doing. That's the thing. You can't do the same thing week in and week out, especially when you're losing games, and expect other teams that have competent head coaches and players to say, wonder who they're throwing the ball to.
First down,
is this time
load
up,
the
so
box.
Yeah, it's his time just yeah. – his extra
first down,
time.
Load the box.
Well, what I
second
meant,
down, load the box.
What I meant – that I still mean that too.
I'm just messing with
I know,
you, bro.
I know you are, but I still think that's true because in the second half, on the touchdown, on the wheel route to Javion Hawkins, they set up that play through running.
Okay, I get a rebut on that.
Even though it wasn't working.
On that touchdown drive coming right out the gate, guess what they did? They passed on first down.
I said that. They did a play action on first down.
They passed on first down, got 6 yards.
Right.
Then they're able to do the handoff, and they got to first down. I was like, holy crap.
But they're not using those
run
plays to set up anything else. They're not setting up anything else but that one drive.
But that's all we're doing is running the ball effectively so teams know. Let's stop the run, and Malik's going to throw to Tutu.
Because
that's the two things, right? I mean, if I'm a defensive coordinator for another school, hey, we just got to stop the run on first and second down.
Right.
And on third down, make sure Tutu Atwell doesn't get the ball.
Because the tight end can get the ball, right, but he's not going to beat us.
All right. And
the state rests their case.
Okay, cool.
Maryland's trash.
Those are big facts, and we're not sorry. Not even a little bit, according to Dalton, and that's fine. But shout out to James Turner, man. That was that's his name, right? The field goal kicker.
Yep.
I don't want to. What a tough situation to be in, and for him to net. I mean, you couldn't have done anything more perfect, but kick it about 6 inches further. Like it was on line. That's a tough kick to make at that stadium.
53, 54 yards. The winds were swelling. They showed on there the goalpost flags were going one way, and then about 20 foot up, the American flag was blowing the other way.
Yeah, I mean, that's swirling winds, and that's what Notre Dame Stadium is really known for. But, yeah, like the wind was blowing this way right at the goalpost, and right above the goalpost, it was blowing the opposite direction. All right,
I'm sorry, real quick. One more quick point, because I don't normally have as many points.
That's true.
Like, I feel like at the end of the first half, we were running that kind of like hurry up, right?
Yes.
And it freaking it was working. Like, yes. I just don't understand why coaches, especially our coach, I don't care if any of the other coaches do it, don't do it. It's not a good idea. But for our coach, like, why we don't do it more? Like, you keep the defense on the, you know, like on their heels.
No, because defensive-minded coaches, they want to run the ball so that they can take the air out of the ball. The lower the scoring, the better it is for defensive coaches.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
I understand, because if we can score more points than them, we don't have to score as many.
Right. So I think that's what our coaches are about. Sorry.
All right, Dalton, your 3 minutes starts now.
I mean, you all have pretty much, you know, brought up good points. Defensively, yeah, I was really excited to see Brian Brown mix it up. Brought a lot of cornerback blitzes. You know, it seems like the adjustments were attempted to be made, and it was felt early on. I thought the defensive line did very good, especially in the run game. I know that Kyron Williams. He had just under a 130 on the ground, but the encouraging thing for the defense is none of it, I believe, was over 20 yards or so. The Louisville defense, the biggest Achilles heel is that, allowing the big play. That wasn't necessarily the case, obviously, when you look indicative to the score. Offensively, yeah, I mean, I think play calling was bland. It's been bland, but I think Joey's right. It's at some point, I understand the premise of the run setting up the pass, but if the run's not working, it's not setting up anything except for your team to fail.
Especially when you got the receivers and tight ends and JV now the backfield that we got.
And I understand the premise, you know, Sat runs an offense. It's a very simple in theory, the one he ran at Appalachian State. It's run dominant. And I understand at times it's hard to shift from, you know, that game plan. But to play the devil's advocate, you know, that might work when we have the competent line to be able to, you know, make that system work. But, it's really indicative of how good a head coach is when he's able to see that something's not working and stop going back to it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. And the bad thing about it is the harsh reality is it's only going to get worse because it's almost like we're telegraphing what play is going to be called. It's almost like you're yelling to the batter if you're a pitcher, hey, I'm throwing a curveball down the middle. It's almost really kind of what's happening, especially if you're running the ball every first down, because, you know, you might capitalize and convert on a third and long here and there, but, statistics show that's not a good recipe for success. I think that's why we're seeing Louisville start to score less and less points as weeks goes on. It's really just a matter of how we can switch things up on offense. But the last point I want to make, and it's really kind of an overall sense, I think when we look at the outcome of the game, and if the roles were reversed, if it was a 5-point deficit, if we lost, let's say, 46-41, I'm not so sure that I would be this encouraged if it was a high-scoring affair as it is a low-scoring affair, because we know that the offense is talented. It's really just a matter of the calling and scheme to get them, you know, in the best situation to succeed. But to see the defense do what they did yesterday
against Notre Dame,
exactly,
not Georgia Tech or somebody like that. You're
but
talking
the thing
about
it is,
team.
And I'm more than likely going to go over the 3 minutes, but we're not sorry.
No.
This is the last point I need to make. Yes, I understand the concept of moral victories, but I don't believe in them because I feel like it almost allows people to make excuses and get complacent and try to sugarcoat a loss. The fact of the matter is the Louisville Cardinals are 1-4, and it's as easy as it gets throughout the season, you know, in terms of our schedule, we're still going to have to produce. You have to look at it in a sense of, okay, we did this right, but here are the things we did wrong. We have to start hammering home what we did wrong, what we did wrong. The thing about it is you're 1-4. There aren't too many things you did do right, especially throughout the season. Your record indicates that. So we can't look at this game and be like, oh, we only lost 12-7. I mean, in premise, it's good, but when you start trying to tally up moral victories, that's when we really get into a dangerous zone, because we start getting complacent. We start getting into a zone of, oh, but we did this against Notre Dame, so that's fine, right? You know, you have to turn the script. Okay, we didn't do this right against Notre Dame. Let's fix it. But let's build off of what we did do right.
Absolutely. Great points by everybody. I feel like everything was pretty much covered there. The thing is that going to next week's game, it's very important that we continue what we started defensively this week, and keep that going on. Higgy, I'm gonna ask you a question real quick, because we had a phenomenal week at CSC this week. We had our game day prep piece, which what that does is something me and Sean prepare for you all every week. It puts this podcast in it, any press conferences that were in it, any podcast that we had guest spots on, tells you what time, what channel the game's on, gives you the uniform combo and everything. And this week I had the privilege of being asked to be on an NBC podcast, and we tried to get Dalton in it, on it too, but I called him and I couldn't get a hold of you.
I never got a call. I was just kind of waiting for him.
No, I was calling you, and he was like, "We have to do this." He put the pressure on me. So I had to do it. But Vince out of Irish Illustrated, shout out. Thank you for having me on. We had a great – what was your favorite part of that podcast, Iggy?
I actually did not get a chance to listen to it yet. I got it on my playlist to listen to.
Okay. So, and that's why he is fired effective immediately. I knew he had. But we had this great conversation, and I was trying to be as realistic and – y'all know me, I'm normally very upbeat, very optimistic. And this week, he was just like, "Well, what do we got to do?" And I was like, "You just got to throw the ball to somebody and then catch it." He's like, who's going to get the closest to, I forgot which receiver he was talking about. Like, if this guy breaks away down the seam, who's going to be the closest person for U of L to tackle him? I was like, the referees. Like, I was trying to be really lighthearted, but I really felt like even though I've been the biggest advocate for this team is better. Just sometimes as a fan, you lose hope. You have faith every week that it's going to be better. And for four straight weeks, it hadn't been better. So I'm giving my apologies to the football team because I gave up a little hope and you all proved me wrong. Let's just not go back to this next week. I mean, we do have enough games left on the schedule that we can have a successful season.
We bring the same fire and fight on defense.
Right.
There's not a team left on our schedule that we shouldn't be able to keep their score low enough to give the offense, if they can just get their head out of their rear end, a chance to win the game.
And this is a tough three game. I mean, you think any normal year, you say, hey, your next three games are Notre Dame, Florida State, and Virginia Tech. And oh, by the way, you played Miami 2 weeks before that started. Anybody would be like, oh, crap, that's a tough schedule. So, believe it or not, the easiest part of this schedule starts the week after the Florida State game, even though that starts off with Virginia Tech, and they're a really, really, really decent ball team right now. But, we can hope that we do continue the success that we had this week. And I know defense, that's why when everybody on Twitter – or as I called you on the Irish podcast, the Twitter morons, we're calling for Brian Brown's head. It's like, it's not that easy. You can't just blame it on the coach and then say fire him after 2 years. You got to have a little patience. What, Higgy? I see your sausage finger sticking in the air. What do you want?
No, I'm just going to make one point that everybody else didn't make. Really was more.
I doubt that, but go ahead.
I was going to say the offensive line yesterday did not seem up to par as anything to me, because of they had Renato Brown, they got the personal foul after we had just gained positive yards, and then when a couple snap infractions by Cole Bentley killed us as well, and momentum swing. So
the O-line played probably the best game of the season yesterday. Yeah, we had some unsightly penalties, but they
wasn't
gave
the best game of our season. Well,
the O-line played the best game of the season.
What game was better?
Yeah, what game?
Western Kentucky.
Oh,
come on, bro. You all can't right. even count
Miami.
That one.
Miami? No.
Dude, you ate too much. You ate too much of that.
No,
that
I'm just
chili.
Saying. Yesterday,
no, yesterday was
that
the best,
defense,
best
that
game
offensive
game
line.
All,
was
all,
not
in fa- all in favor of Jeremy's point.
How
raise your hand.
How recency bias?
All in favor of Higgy's point.
Recency bias is one hell of a drug, and I'll have you remember. Go back and watch that Miami game, and you will see
Malik scrambling, overthrowing.
You will see Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roach in the backfield every single play. Every single play. Now, I know our offense was able to make adjustments in terms of receivers and running backs, but every single play, it seemed like
your quarterback could throw for 400 yards and your offensive line not play a good game just because, like you said, they're getting out of the pocket and making plays. But those guys, like you said, were in the backfield every time.
Put it this way. The offensive line – can't help the fact that your team decides to run every first down, so they load the box. You know what it reminds me of? You know, this might be a LSU when they had Leonard Fournette and they played Alabama, and Alabama would put 8 or 9 in the box, and I think Leonard finished with like 15 carries for 19 yards because they literally just waited and waited and waited. And if you don't change anything up, it's going to be the same thing regardless if you have Notre Dame's offensive line, which is allowed to hold on every play.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame yesterday, they as much credit as I want to give our defense, they had a horrible game plan too. Had they just thrown the ball, they probably score a lot more. They were run first yesterday. And I don't have the exact numbers, but I would venture to guess that they ran 80% of the time yesterday.
79%.
Which
I already
very,
checked.
Which
was
is
it?
Very – that's almost like, what are they, 78% a game is their allocation.
What
of the,
they stuck
you mentioned
true
last year
to what I told you guys last week.
That tight end was killing us.
Yeah.
We had put a linebacker on him, and he was getting open. He's the one – I think he got 2 passes on that last possession that ended up, you know, not giving the ball back to
Louisville. They started off in the first – their first possession, they started off testing Louisville's DBs. And to their credit, Clark and Johnny Jones stepped up to it.
So they said, screw it. Let's go back to the ground.
Exactly.
And they got 240 yards of on the ground yesterday?
It was something like that. It was over 200 for sure.
Right now.
But all right. Well, we're going to head to the commercial break real quick. We'll come back. This is the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast.
Come on out to Four Pegs Beer Lounge, located at 1053 Goss Avenue. Four Pegs has the best and most rolls for your eating pleasure. With daily specials on food and drinks and weekly dishes that are sure to wow your taste buds, Four Pegs is the
name
place
game,
for you.
You can't say Miami.
One of my favorite
Miami's,
things about Four
D-line
Pegs,
was the
other
reason
than food,
why
is the great atmosphere
Malik
and fun
was throwing the ball out of bounds, but throwing interceptions.
Chris is a community pillar and a great guy, and you can tell he wants everyone to have a great time there. For more info and daily specials, give our actors a call at 502-634-1447. That's 502-634-1447. Four Pegs Beer Lounge.
We know.
Come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville, located in the heart of Shively. We are a huge, bright, family-friendly trampoline park.
We
offer large spaces for birthday parties with top-of-the-line experiences
and
2 hours of jump
time.
With every park, our prices for family fun are competitive with the other guys as well. Make sure you check out our foam area. It's awesome. So come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville and have a blast. I know me and my sisters always do.
Yeah, buddy.
If you have any questions, please give us a call at 502-449-9952. That's 502-449-9952.
Hello, Card Nation. If you need your yard taken care of, then go to a guy that I trust.
Yeah.
Rob Black in Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. If you need it done, they can do it. Rob has over 30 years of experience in the business, and he takes care of my lawn as well. He does an amazing job. Services include lawn care, fall cleanups, pressure washing, landscaping, soft washing, gutter cleaning, cleanups, and much more. Average yard costs about $30. Average overall cleanup cost is about $125. So if you're interested, give our guy Rob at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping a call at 502-773-5757. That's 502-773-5757. Derby City Lawn and Landscaping.
Custom Multicades makes authentic, quality arcade machines at the most reasonable prices. When you're looking for the perfect piece for your family game room or man cave, you can find what you want at Custom Multicades, right here in the Ville. Whether you're looking for an upright game, cocktail table game, or even a bourbon barrel game, Custom Multicades is the place to go. They even carry Golden Tee games and virtual pinball machines as well. You can get all the classic games you love, like Pac-Man, Galaga, Centipede, Space Invaders, Donkey Kong, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
Altered Beast, used to running
so
a
much, Shinobi, Bad Dudes, Ninja Gaiden, all of them, just depending on which pack you pick. When you get in contact with Chris and Linda, they will steer you to the right pack. They are some of the best customer service people that I've ever dealt with. I have one in my home, so you can trust me on that. They do pride themselves, though, on providing the best product at a reasonable price and backing that up with excellent customer service. They are a locally owned company by Chris and Linda Stewart. They have been in the amusement business for over 20 years. But let's get back to that game. You can customize it not only with games, but with graphics. Their graphics team can help you turn your arcade into a family heirloom or business centerpiece. Pro teams, we're making good time
today too.
Even your business logo, maybe even your face. Don't quote me on that one. That may be incorrect. You can also get light up buttons, light up joysticks. You can customize the trim, all of the panel stickers, everything. It's an amazing product, and I can say that because I have one in my home. So if you're interested in getting your own arcade game, give them a call at 502-819-5802. That's 502-819-5802. Or check them out online at CustomMultiCades.com. Welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Again, I'm your host, Jeremy Wallman, here with Sean, Sam, Joey, Dalton, and Higgy. We kind of flambéed Higgy's point before the break, but we're going to give him a chance to talk here in a second. We don't want him feelings to be hurt. But we are coming to you live from the Custom Multicade Studios. Before we get to the second part of the show, I would like to talk a little bit about some of our fine sponsors. Shack in the Back Barbecue, that's 363-3BBQ. That's 363-3BBQ. Shack in the Back has all kinds of great smoked meats that they do in real wood pits. They offer all kinds of specials, lunch specials. They also will cater. They do just whatever you need done, they can do it. That is Shack in the Back Barbecue, 502-363-3BBQ. Chris and Sarah out at Fitness Market. That's 502-882-2694. They've got they will meet and fulfill all your fitness needs. They have treadmills, ellipticals, stationary bikes, motorized bikes, weights, racks, dumbbells, whatever you need, they've got it there. And if they don't, they can figure out a way to get it to you. They're the best in the business as far as customer service is concerned. I really, really enjoyed my experience and time with Chris and Sarah out at Fitness Market. They took care of me, and they will take care of you too. Linda and Chris Stewart out at Custom Multicades. Obviously, you just heard a lengthy commercial before the break about them, but I'll expand on them just a little bit more. Their phone number is 502-819-5802. I actually have two. I know the commercial says one. I actually have two arcades from Custom Multicades. One is a stand-up and one is a sit-down, like the one that they used to have back in like Pizza Hut or stuff like that back in the 90s and early 2000s. And it's got every game on it you'd ever want. The sit-down's got most of your classic cartoon games or cartoon arcade games like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong,
Woody Woodpecker, Tom and Jerry,
Crystal Castles, Looney Tunes. No, just anything that Centipede, anything you would want from as far as retro. It's got that. My stand-up's got all the fighting games, Tekken, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. It's got NBA Jam. It's got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's got, they don't have Contra, but I'm about to talk about that in a second. It's got about 90% of the arcade games. Segway. That's a radio term, y'all. We're going to segue into that in a second. But it's got pretty much a majority of your favorite and popular arcade games from the actual arcades from the 90s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. But they have a new system coming out here in the next few weeks. I know you've heard me say that for the last few weeks, but there was actually something came up. I'm not going to. They had a death in the family, and you know, our deepest condolences to them. So they haven't got to roll that out as quickly as possible as they wanted to. They're about to here in the next few weeks, and your boy's going to be one of the first to test it. And it's got every Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, Genesis Master, 32X, Sega Genesis. It's got everything. Every game, Tecmo Bowl, Contra, Metroid, anything you want. It's got it. So
you had me at Metroid.
I knew that. So give him a call, 502-819-5802. And our guy Rob out of Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. Now, a lot of people think just because.
Oh, I've got the phone number.
Oh, I've got it. Okay. I did it because Higgy messed up on it so
just
many times.
Just making sure. Yeah, I had the phone number for you this week.
I appreciate that. But most people think just because the winter is starting to get here and it's getting colder outside that you don't need your yard taken care of. And that could be. Could not be further from the truth. Out at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, our guy Rob will take care of you. He'll mow your yard during the summer. He does yard work. He'll help you with landscaping and stuff. But during the winter, he'll get you prepped for the next year's grass to grow nice and green and long and thick and stuff. Sean, you like that kind of grass, right?
Long and thick. Your beard.
I had to shave mine off. How do you do that? We'll get to that in a second. We'll go back to Sean's beard in a few minutes.
Furry face.
But anyway, Rob will take care of your yard. He'll tell you what you need to do. If you have vegetables out in the garden, he'll tell you what you need to do to protect those during the winter. Anything you need, he'll take care of you. It's 502-773-5757. And last but definitely not least, our guy Chris out at Four Pegs Beer Lounge, 502-634-1447. He's got great lunch specials. Higgy, can you please tell them about the $8 lunch special?
You have a pulled pork sandwich. You have
breakfast. Can you turn your mic back? You threw a fit during the break and turned your mic off. Turn it back on and let us know what the $8 lunch box is all about.
I apologize for that. But there's pulled pork. There's pulled brisket. There's all kinds of great goodness for lunch and stuff. I can't wait to order a lunch special this week. So, Chris, and go out and check out Chris. Jeremy's actually sampling right now the brisket chili. So.
Oh, my God. First off, Chris, thank you.
Thank you for the great goodness.
Thank you. No, thank you for letting us sample this and give our opinion on it. This is
pretty nice.
It is definitely the best brisket chili I've ever had in my entire life.
Hands down.
Great taste. Got
I had
a little
three
kick.
Cups of it.
Well, yeah, between you and Higgy, the rest of us.
Yeah, we only. Yeah.
Hey, look, man, I've never been too shy about the fact that I like food. You put it there, like it's like a kid with candy. Like you can't expect them not to go reaching for the candy.
I'm glad you specified because you say you put it there, and you said it's like a kid with candy. Uh oh, watch what you say, Joe.
I'm not sure where that.
I think we all knew where that could have gone.
Like a fat kid loves cake, and then a glance over to Higgy. I'm just kidding, buddy. Don't get
mute
too
the mic now.
No, don't mute the mic.
Don't mute
tell
the
them
mic.
Tell them about the Louisville Lip Challenge too. What is on? And if you don't know this by now,
are we ever gonna do it?
We are.
6 fried green tomatoes, 1/4 of a pound of brisket, 6 hamburgers. 6 kind of said Jesus.
There's six hamburgers on that.
Did you say Jesus? Like
are you
Jesus?
Doing this on, are you doing this on purpose, Higgy? Are you?
No.
Are you effing with me right
6
now?
Cheeseburgers.
I'm done for the day.
Are you? Are there really 6 cheeseburgers
patties.
On the wall?
Yes, 6 patties.
Yes. Okay.
Good Lord.
That was me. I said Jesus. That.
By the
I
way, Jesus bad. Delivered me a DoorDash order the other day. It said Jesus is approaching. I'm like, my God, he is coming soon, and I need to get my affairs in order. But the Louisville Lip, and actually, Sean, while he's saying this, look up our schedule and when our next, I guess we could just pick. We don't have to wait for a bye week or actually probably would be better if it was during a game. So. Can you look up for us, Sean, when it would be a good time to go do the Louisville Lip Challenge? But okay, so 6 burgers, 6 different kinds of cheeses, and what else? Higgy, what else?
And I'm looking back up here, 1/4 pound of pork, 1/4 pound of brisket, 6 slices of cheese, 6 burger patties, 1 pound of fries,
Christ.
Onion rings, bourbon bacon jam, and their award famous.
And fried green tomatoes, right?
Yes, fried green tomatoes. And their award famous, their brisket chili we tried today.
You want to know what the hardest thing to eat on that would be collectively? And it's probably a dark horse, is the pound of fries. Your whole focus goes on to
that burger.
To the
burger. You got to mix the fries with the burger bites, though.
But you know, if
no,
you're.
It's the beer cheese.
True food connoisseurs like everyone at the table are obviously not thinking that way or thinking your way, but like when you see that burger, it's like, oh wow, and then you have to eat it and then you get finished like, okay, I'm done, and then you have the full pound of fries. No, you're losing that 10 times out of 10.
Absolutely. That's why I don't know if this is a secret, but I'm gonna give you all a little tip. Take the bun off of the eat everything on the burger first. Sit your bun over with your fries because that's what's going to fill you up the most is the bread, the starches and stuff. Annihilate the meat and the tomatoes.
Yeah.
And
annihilate the meat.
Shout out to our boy Sean.
Stand and dance while you eat.
Yeah,
like Joey Chestnut on the
absolutely
the Nathan's hot dog.
Also, have your cardiologist on standby.
Absolutely, we will have we will have one available. But then, when you eat the bread and the fries, wash it down with water. It helps it go down quicker. I've watched a lot of Man versus Foods. I've never done this myself.
But you haven't seen Higgy versus Food.
I haven't, and I'm scared. Well, I kind of did earlier. I caught you over there licking the side of the container. It was that good, though. So, Chris, thank you for sending some of that with us. And also, I'm gonna be cooking out tomorrow and using that rub that you sent with Higgy. Appreciate that as well. And I'll give my thoughts on that next week. But Chris he's such a good guy. He gets out there. He's a community activist. He feeds the people out there that are trying to make this world a better place. He's got his food truck that goes all around the city, and I'm hoping and praying that our neighborhood is the next stop. I did get him in touch with the HOA here, and we're going to try to get them out here at least once a week, once or twice a month at least. So great dude. We appreciate him.
Before you move on, I think, do we want to do it? Did you want to do it on a bye week?
No, you know what? Because I think.
So then,
what do y'all? We'd have to because you work on Saturday. So what game week it is wouldn't really matter. Yeah, that's what we figured. Devin Bush tore his ACL today, and it was confirmed.
Yeah. So then.
So any Sunday would y'all pick the day and we'll do it. Because we can't do it on a Saturday. I forgot because you work Saturday nights.
Yeah, I mean, we've got... Let's see.
We can discuss that off air.
Yeah, we can get to that. We'll get
sorry,
to that.
Sorry, Dad.
We'll get to that off air. But thanks again. We appreciate you, Chris. And his number is 634-1447. His restaurant is off of Goss Avenue. And is that Germantown? Is that considered Germantown?
Yes.
In Germantown in Louisville. All right, guys, let's get to the Florida State preview. Yesterday, they upset number 5, North Carolina. This game, where a week ago it looked like it was going to be a blah-type game, it turns into a big-time season catapult. It can either make our season or break it next week. And first and foremost, Joey, and we're going to talk to you about this, but the biggest storyline coming out of this is that their starting quarterback is a guy that Louisville let get away, actually played for Louisville and transferred to Florida State. So, Joey, if you'll please present the key players.
Well, I think the first one we're going to talk about is Jordan Travis. They're 2-0 since he took over as the starter there. He's already – so they played, I think, what, 5 games or 6 now?
Yeah, I think we've played the same amount of games.
Okay.
Each.
He's already their leading passer for the season in 2 games.
It's not hard when James Blackman's the other one.
That's true. He's almost doubled up James Blackman's passing yards. He's got 617 yards passing 2 games, so he's getting the ball down the field, obviously. But the thing with Jordan is he's also their leading rusher on the season by 80 yards, so he's averaging 5.8 yards per carry. He's got 4 rushing touchdowns, 342 yards on the ground. So looking at their stats and looking at like what we did previewing Notre Dame's, it kind of looks a little similar as far as like the style that they want to go. They're going to run the ball to set up the pass, you know. But the difference is they're effective with it.
Yeah, because they allow their quarterback to run the ball.
Right. So, and they do got a couple, you know. I know his last name is Webb. Let's see here. LaDamian Webb, second leading rusher on the team. And their receiver, again, I'm going to – Tamorian? Does that sound right?
Tamorian Terry. But he's out.
He's out.
Oh, okay.
McDonald is the guy. I'm going to –
They're a tight end, yeah.
He's
Cameron
a 6'4 tight end. I think he's the third leading receiver. He's the guy you need to look at. I think Louisville really struggles with tight ends, and that really was prevalent this past week against Mayer from Notre Dame. Jordan from Miami was big. It's going to be interesting to see how Brian Brown is able to make some adjustments, considering are we going to put a guy like Rajay Burns on a guy like McDonald? We have to put someone who's at least quick enough because he is a quick tight end for a 6'4 size. And you have to you know, considering that size, you have to get a guy who can at least go up and contend with him. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who do Brian Brown and Court Dennison go with in terms of the primary defender.
Sam, tell us a little bit about the Florida State in a couple of sentences.
Okay.
Tell us about the Florida State defense.
We always know Florida State always have talent. Always. Right. And this year is no different. It starts up front with the big guy, Marvin Wilson, the team, I want to say defensive tackle, team leader. And then you have a couple of good linebackers. More importantly, I think Warner III is one of the best linebackers in the country. And on the back end, they have I don't want to say a lockdown, but he can be a ball hawk in Asante Samuels Jr. So Louisville have their – if Florida State is on their game, and if Louisville doesn't have them on their heels, Florida State's athleticism and their defense can give a struggling Louisville offense the fits.
Okay, fair enough. Sean, tell us about Florida State's offense.
Well, obviously, it's Jordan Travis is number one that you have to stop, and it's scary for me because we saw that Louisville had some trouble with Jeff Sims and his mobility.
That's true.
And this guy is, in my opinion, more mobile, better runner, and a better passer. And with that in mind, and you got –
his name's Dalton.
Yeah. I don't know why I was thinking – I had Dexter in my head for some reason. But
he's been dealing this
Dylan
year.
Dexter Dalton.
Dexter? I'm 22 years old, and I've been called many of things. Darren, Dylan, Dalen.
Dylon.
Dalton, D-O-L-T-O-N. Dexter is straight disrespectful. Not even close. That's just saying, it starts with it. Hey, relax there, pal. I don't know what we're going with here.
Sorry, Dexter.
Dexter.
All right, Sean.
Anyway.
Dexter Poindexter. DP.
They got the running game is what is going to worry me most. I know we did okay against Notre Dame, but we still didn't shut them down, obviously.
Right.
And when you got Travis being able to use that the same time. Yeah, read option. Thank you. The read option that we saw Lamar utilize so well. And they got a running back in Webb who's really, really good. It worries me. And then you got the tight end, as he mentioned, McDonald. That's
this time we went with he.
Yeah, the Dalton mentioned McDonald.
Dexter.
That you can hit over the middle on passes and obviously we leave them wide open for some reason. The only thing is, I don't know if they have the receivers without Terry, they're okay. I think, though, after what I've seen against Notre Dame with Clark and Jones, I think we'll have a better chance of hanging with them than I thought we might have had earlier this year.
Dalton, Louisville's offense obviously is a high-power offense, even though it's not really shown it this year. What do they have to do versus Florida State to be successful for the entire four quarters? Because we've all noticed it takes Louisville time to get started for most games. Mm-hmm. Now, we never got started yesterday at all offensively, but the other games, can point to Miami. You can point to not Georgia Tech. Who do we play between Miami and Georgia Tech?
Pittsburgh.
Even Western, to an extent, we came out kind of slow. What does the offense need to do next week to kind of change the tide here?
Yeah, so, I mean, really, I think you can take Florida State's name off and just keep it blank because the same keys are prevalent before any game for this Louisville offense. I think, number one, and we've talked about it extensively at the beginning of this episode, something's got to happen with the play calling. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know more than the coaches because, you know, a lot of people sit here and think, like, what are they doing? If I was the coach, I'd be this much better, and that's just not true. I mean, right. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback. But I think that we have to at least take away the illusion of telegraphing things. If you're going to run the ball, you know that's fine. I know that we are a run-dominant identity on offense, and we have the running backs to back that up, but we have to start switching things up. Run on second down at times. You know, I think one trait of very good teams, and Clemson does this extensively, and they've done it really for their last 4 years of reign over college football, they throw the ball a lot on first down, which sets up that second and short. Then you can run the ball on second down. If you don't get it, okay, it's third and three, third and four, and then the opportunity and the probability of, you know, keeping the chains going is so much higher than third nine, third 10, third and 11. I think we have to mix it up a little bit. I think that Malik's going to have to hit his throws. I thought that, you know, in the small sample size of what we saw from him yesterday, I thought yesterday from a whole body of work was probably his best game in terms of being able to read the defenses, throw it when, you know, the pressure was coming, and I think the offensive line was good as well. So, really, it's kind of your standard offensive line has to protect. Malik has to hit his throws. I think a big key, and, you know, Sam mentioned the lockdown cornerback. We have to be able to diversify who we throw the ball to. I would love it. And it's not really even just Des Fitzpatrick. Let's get guys like Marshawn Ford, you know, back involved. You know, Ian Pfeiffer to an extent. Braden Smith had, you know, try to go deep with him. We don't go deep a lot anymore. Sorry, Sean. I know that hurts.
No, you said anymore. You can't say that to him.
Hey, sure. Dexter. Just watch.
No, but just to
drive Dexter.
Just to drive things home. I mean, you know, in theory, it's nice to get Des Fitzpatrick his touches because he needs to. But I feel like Louisville's offense is extremely deadly when Malik is throwing, not necessarily deep, but, you know, the mid-range over the middle, which is where guys like Braden Smith really, you know, make their money, or even out in the flat or 5 yards over the middle on a slant, which is where Marshawn Ford has really liked to kind of lurk. So I think diversification is the number one key when it comes to this game against Florida State.
And I will say this, Marshawn Ford has become target B the last few weeks. He's had a couple of really great games in a row. Sam, really quick, before we shoot to the recruiting side of the show, what does Louisville's defense have to do to make you happy next week that we have, you know, we talk about consistency and improving every week. What do we need to do next week just to get better as a team, especially against Florida State?
Well, the number one thing all defenses need to do is tackle. Run to the ball, gang tackle. So that goes without saying. With the offense that Florida State runs, the read option that we had so much success with when Lamar was here, we need to be eye disciplined. You need to stay in your gaps, and don't pay too much attention to what goes on pre-snap, but stay in your gaps and keep your eyes on the ball, because if you think for 1 second that he's going to definitely give it to Webb, he might pull it, and with Jordan Travis's speed, he's gone.
Exactly.
Yep.
And
go ahead.
No, like just to piggyback, the biggest contributions yesterday, and one of the reasons why we were so successful on defense is because our linebacking core was absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
Monty Montgomery was exceptional. Rajay Burns came to play. Dorian Etheridge didn't necessarily play a ton in that first half, but I thought, you know, overall that linebacking core was great. When you have a read option quarterback, you know, I know that you're basically looking at the defensive end and when in terms of whether you're going to pull the ball out or not, or keep it with a running back.
That unblocked guy.
Yes, but it's the linebacking core to be able, because, I mean, the defensive end's kind of at the mercy of the quarterback and what he decides to do. The linebacking core is going to dictate how successful that option is throughout the night. And if this linebacking core can step up like they did yesterday, I mean, it could be very successful for Louisville on defense once again. It's just going to be a matter of, can you stay poised and be able to tackle in a technical way and not just dive for the ankles?
All right. Sam, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the Louisville defense?
No, other than, like I said, and like Dalton said, keep your poise. Like I was saying, stay in your gaps and be eye disciplined, because either way, one wrong angle, one wrong step in a different direction, and the running back or Travis is gone.
Fair enough. All right, Sam, well, since you're already on the mic, I mean, we're all on the mic, but predictions. What is the final score of this game next week?
I wish I could plead the fifth right now.
We're not going to allow that.
I'm going to say Florida State has had their best game or their best half of the season, and it's not going to – I think Louisville You know what? I'm going to go 35-24 Louisville.
All right, Sean.
All right, there was some hope after watching that game because Florida State did not score in the second half. So I have hope that the offense is going to finally get going and the defense is going to build off what they did. I think it's going to be a 31-28 Louisville victory.
Dang it, Sean, taking my score over here.
All right, so then we don't have to ask Higgy. I'm just kidding. Joey?
I also have some hope for the defense if, you know, they can bring that fight and fire again. And, again, you know, North Carolina's defense, like you said, kind of got some things figured out. So I'm hoping that our coaching staff is looking at what North Carolina did, trying to, you know, figure out some of those schemes to do the same thing. And I hate to be like the Debbie Downer, but until our offense can prove that they can score points, I can't keep guessing that they're going to get 30 points, 28 points. I'm going to say 17-14 Cards.
All right, Dog.
I hate to be that guy.
No, you don't. You embrace it.
Go ahead.
I'm not sorry.
He's not.
I'm not. I thought what we saw against Notre Dame, as everyone did, was very encouraging. But that doesn't erase what's happened before that. The game before Georgia Tech, we did not look good at all. There's a reason the Cards are on a four-game losing streak. I know the competition, you know, both three of the four out of those weeks was very strong. I'm going to go 24-21 Florida State, and that's just because although the linebacking core looked good, I think a read option is where we really start to see some of those bad habits arise out of some poor tackling techniques, especially in the secondary. And like I said, the offense, the play calling has to get better, and it just hasn't, you know, over the course of the season. So we'll see if it does on Saturday, but I have to operate under the assumption that we're going to continue to see at least some type of variation of what we've been seeing. So I think, you know, I think the Cards are going to score some points, but I'm just not so sure that it's going to be enough to hold, you know, Florida State to, you know, under 20 points. Because let's be honest, if Notre Dame, if we play that game two, three more times, they might score 40, 50 points, really just depending. I think that everything the defense did well, you know, yesterday. Not necessarily saying it was a fluke, but you almost have to view it like that, considering that it's only one of the five games that you played in which the defense has been competent.
Fair enough. And Higgy, what about you? What's your final score?
28-24. Louisville.
Okay.
He changed it just because of Sean had it.
That's all you got to say about it?
I'm sorry, Seth.
That's all I'm going to say because I'm not going to go into a lengthy conversation on it.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm going to – here's a little – don't want to go into – he's on a podcast and don't want to go into conversation. Okay. Well, here's a little known fact. Every time I picked Louisville to beat Florida State –
they have not.
They have. And every time I have said they were not going to beat them, they have not. So, with that momentum, and that's a lot of pressure on me, I'm going to sit here and say that the final score will be 34-31 Florida State. And I hate to do that, but I'm also with you all. I need to see some consistency before you get my confidence back. I need the confidence back too. There are some people like our guy Steve and our guy Higgy here that will pick Louisville to win every game every year, never lost a game, undefeated national champions every year, and that's fine. I love that confidence, and I have.
And I hope we score 31 points.
I hope we score 51 points. I mean, I hope we blow them out of the water. It's just
– well, no, I'm just saying the same thing with, you know, talking about the consistency right. on defense.
Yeah.
We
– because if we had
– we just went straight this way with our points on offense.
Too many uncertainties right now for me to pick. Even though Florida State is down, they've shown struggles against some pretty mediocre teams this season.
Are y'all done so I can finish what I was saying?
Yeah, sorry, because nobody else ever gets interrupted either.
I was going to say. All right, I'm done. I don't even remember what I was saying now.
I figured that was coming too, though.
I blame Seth over there. If I'm Dexter, you're Seth.
I'll take
Seth.
That's actually not a bad name. I'll take Seth.
It might real be quick, better than Sean. Real quick, let's
I bet
talk.
You will take Seth.
Listen here, Jerry.
Un-effing believable. Why are you hitting that? You need to have one that says effing believable.
Highly accurate. Highly accurate.
Highly believable.
Highly accurate. Sean, the beard.
Relax.
Can we please trim it or something? I had one. I tried to grow it, not because of you, but because I was like, you know what? I do like having a big bushy beard sometimes, as long as it's maintained. But then it started getting on my nerves because I'd wake up and find like crumbs from the night before dinner that I thought I had combed out. It just wasn't cool.
Nobody likes a big bush.
He doesn't know that.
Speaking of, like we said earlier, Devin Bush tore his ACL. Hope speedy recovery for him. I'm just trying to get Sean away from that as far as possible.
Like little trim. Just trim it up.
Like he has.
Trim it for the trim.
So can we get a little
bit of... But it works to keep social distancing. People stay away from me.
They would do that no matter how your face looked.
That is true. I was voted most likely to kill somebody in high school.
No,
Jesus Christ. Damn, the truth
I'm
comes
done.
Out.
I'm done. This has been the Cardinal Sports Zone Podcast.
What's the show Making a Murderer on Netflix season 2?
Were you on the Tiger King?
He helped Carol Baskin.
They'll never find the body. That's all I'll say.
What do
never
we got, Marty Jannetty over here?
We got Carol Baskin and Baskin Robbins over here.
Dang, most likely.
Sean, I'm sorry, buddy. I had
no wonder.
Idea.
It's a hard knock life. For us.
He's had a rough time.
That is a true story, by the way.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I refuse to believe that, so I'm going to...
It was.
I'm
it was a prank no. by the boys in school, and somehow I got... somehow I got voted. They were scared
you
of me.
You got to stop, Sean.
At first, I thought he said, by the boys. No, it...
He said it was, he said
by bullies.
By the, he said by the bullies.
Did he say bullies?
Yeah.
I thought he said
they
bullies.
They went to bat. They
by the
got
bullies.
Hey, let me take the shovel away from you, okay?
Yeah. He said it was a prank by the boys.
I thought that's what he said.
I thought that's what he said.
Shoot. All right, gosh, Dalton, let's get this train back on the track. We've had a lot of people ask about recruiting updates for both football and basketball. I told them that we would quench their thirst this week, and that's open for anybody specific. What is wrong, Sean?
You're cutting
okay,
it
well,
out on
I mean,
us.
You can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine are soundproof.
Sean, if you point at me again, I'm going to slap you. But
there we go.
They've been wanting some so we told them we would quench their thirst this week, so – we'll start with Dalton because I know he had a couple of people he wanted to speak about. And then anybody else around the table that has an update, feel free to join in. Dalton.
Yeah, if those asking are looking for any new developments, you know, I hate to be that guy, but it just doesn't seem like there's going to be at this time. I think that, you know, I keep saying it over and over, but it's still true every time you say it. The staff had a huge summer.
They did.
And all things considered, it's extremely impressive, even after losing Zim Mikulski, which is one of those things you can't really control. But there are two guys to keep eyes on. Armand Bethea, a three-star offensive tackle from up
Big
north.
Baby.
And if you're really worried, if you're one of those people that star chases, you know, which a lot of this fan base does, he's a guy that is going to be in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. So to be, you know, nominated and playing as a three-star tells you all you need to know about, you know, how good he actually is. He recently came out with his top four, with Ole Miss being the team that I think is probably the team to beat at this time. But Louisville's definitely in that mix. Yusuf Magarble, four-star offensive tackle from North Carolina, where, you know, Sat and Gunter Brewer have made their, you know, made their connections.
That sounds like a name from like the Key and Peele skit. Bar Trail Cluggins.
Burger Troy Skittles.
And
University
this is, and
of
this
Louisville.
This is how we lost an offensive tackle. But no, he's a four-star guy. Really keeps his recruitment on the down low. But Louisville's still in there. So football-wise, that's really all in terms of the 2021. But if you've been paying attention to our Twitter accounts for the 2022 class, they put out a lot of offers to a lot of big name guys, and I mean, I'm telling you, more than 10 guys that they've offered are in the, you know, the top 300 on 24/7 Sports. So,
a lot of them when we're on Mountain High's big boards as
well. Yeah, they definitely shot at Higgy and High because a lot of those guys were on those big boards as well. And there's some of them, two of them are top 50 players overall, defensive tackles. Now, obviously, it's going to be a real uphill battle to get those guys, but just the fact that they're throwing the offers out and the recruits are giving them clout on social media, I mean, that does go at least a little bit of ways.
Yeah, they're being, I think it was you that said, they're being very aggressive, and you liked it.
You have to be. You have to be aggressive because you got to think about it is if you're a big-name recruit, you have the top programs that are, could really come in at any time, like Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, and so on and so forth, Oklahoma. But if you're a team like Louisville, you have to make your bread and butter of making these guys feel like they are the center of the universe, because that's what you have to do if you're a place like Louisville, because there's not many things that you can pitch that are going to be superior than programs like that.
Fair enough. Now, Sam and Sean, what about basketball-wise? Have you heard anything new on that side of the spectrum? And it's okay if you say no, and then we'll go back to Dalton and Higgy and see if they've heard anything.
I know that there was a Brandon Huntley that we were talking about, but it doesn't look like we're going to be in on him now.
He drops us out of his top five.
Yeah. Yeah, so that really, there's no real good news right now.
Great point there, Sean. I should have went to Higgy instead.
Said no one ever.
Actually, I just did. Basketball-wise, Dalton, do we have any updates?
I mean, just the fact that I know that Roosevelt Wheeler had a it sounds like I can't confirm yet because I haven't. He hasn't spoken out about it, but rumor has it that it could be an Achilles tear, which is absolutely detrimental for a big man. But I can confirm to you with 100% certainty that the Cardinal coaching staff is not letting up in pursuit of him.
They should not.
So they're going to continue there. I would like to see if they're going to continue to pursue a guy like Jamarion Sharp, which the Cards could turn the heat up if, Mac decides that, they want to go that route. But I think we need to keep an eye out on the ruling that it seems like there's going to be a one-time, free transfer, because that really can dictate how we use a scholarship or two. So the fact that there aren't that many names being added into the conversation, I think, is really, a byproduct of, hey, let's wait and see till the spring, because, I mean, there could be a mid-major, even a, Power 5 guy that looks for a change of scenery that can come in right away.
Absolutely. Higgy, you got anybody to look out for?
I think I was just going to say a quick tidbit on football recruiting real quick. Two guys that are very standing out after watching my weekly recaps and everything like that for high school football-wise is TJ Lewis. This week had over 110 yards rushing and three touchdowns, which was very impressive on beating a team 41-14. And then one player that's really going to make a jump this next ratings is going to be TJ Quinn. He has been doing great this season. He's almost got over 50 tackles by himself on the field so far this year. So
it's hard to do as a guy in the secondary, I mean, let alone a high school football.
Unless you're playing – never mind. Let me keep
unless he's playing in the box.
But he's playing some tough – he's playing Jalen Allerman.
You're playing,
he's played some tough competition.
Anytime there's a couple states that if you play in Georgia, you play in Florida, you even play in Texas. I know there's a couple leagues in Texas that aren't highly regarded. But if you play in any of those states, California, I'm never going to question the – type of teams you're playing, just because there's so much talent
everywhere.
I liked what I seen when we did the breakdowns. TJ Quinn is
Kenai Walker
is much better than this.
Kenai Walker posted a tweet yesterday of him having a one-handed interception.
Yes.
It was pretty sweet.
That kid too, and being 6'2".
He's a monster.
I mean,
he is what we need right now.
But I'll say Aaron Gunn's another one. He has been a monster on the offensive line this year for Union area high school up in Pennsylvania.
It's hard up there. One thing about it is, it's kind of like that's where you kind of have to question a little bit of the competition. But one thing is for certain, I mean, you watch his film, it doesn't matter how big the other defense alignment is, he is pancake central. He's extremely solid. Don't
Who's
say
got
anything.
Pancakes?
I saw Joe start licking his lips. I said, uh-oh.
I love pancakes.
All right, so Joey loves pancakes.
That's my next recruit.
Pancakes?
That I'm looking out for is pancakes.
Waffle House or
IHOP? I made an offer.
Okay.
$3.99 for a four stack.
IHOP better than Waffle House, right?
100%.
Waffle House doesn't have pancakes.
Okay. Yeah.
Even if no, they did, they wouldn't be better.
I wasn't talking about. I just meant overall.
Oh, no.
It's a better restaurant than Waffle House.
Give me Waffle House.
Except for if it's after 2 a.m. Between 2 and 6 a.m.,
Waffle House.
Nothing beats Waffle House or White Castle.
Oh.
Well, to be fair, though, that at 2 o'clock, that's when Gertrude starts wiping her armpits and starts shoveling the.
You know what? As long as I don't see Gertrude do it,
I'm fine with me.
The spatula around starts.
That's a good dry rub there on that. Yeah, I bet it is.
I bet it ain't dry.
Waffle House after dark. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Well, once again, another successful episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. We want to shout out again to all of our fine sponsors. Why do I always say spine sponsors? I don't know. Fine sponsors.
You sit next to Higgy.
That's true. It's hot over here.
And you talk to Chris all the time.
Okay. Well, that's true. The Jamon Brown Foundation, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. I got a couple in the works right now. And I'm also talking to somebody's mama at the table, too, about getting a sponsorship. So yeah, stay tuned. We won't say any names, but stay tuned.
Definitely not mine.
No, I got somebody's mom's digits this week, though, so that's all that matters.
It must have been Dexter's.
Dexter
or Dylan.
It was Dexter's mom. No, but we appreciate all the support, all the love. If you'd like to sponsor the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, shoot us a DM on Twitter, shoot us a private message on Facebook, or give us a call at 502-694-0375. If you want to follow the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast on social media, it's at Card Sport Zone across the board. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. It's at Card Sport Zone. On Facebook, it's three words, Cardinal Sports Zone. Hit that like button. Make it Facebook official. Here's also a reminder that both Sean and Higgy have hot sisters. That's just
sisters-in-law.
Well, we'll call it.
You said she was your sister.
You did say she was your sister.
You have
I have a sister-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
Which one are y'all specifying?
It's both. It's one of each. He's got one of each. He's over here hoarding on y'all. I'm just saying.
You realize Sam's eyes get all big when you mention hot sister. He's like, ooh.
He's a hoard.
But you can find us on all the podcast avenues, Apple Podcasts,
oh, it's your boy.
iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and soon to be on Amazon Music. We are also on iHeart Podcast, the number one avenue for podcasts. Hit the subscribe button now. I know y'all are tired of me hopping in the DMs, telling y'all to retweet and listen. Just listen. Hit that subscribe button. You'll get it before everybody else does. Especially if Sean has anything to say about it. If you haven't listened to all the episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, go back, check them all out. Go to cardinalsportszone.com, hit the podcast tab, drop down menu, select CSZ podcast. Also, shout out to our recruiting team, which is mostly sitting around the table right now. They're on fire, as always, as is the entire squad. Dalton, you have an exclusive coming up this week. You have them every week, but... who do you have coming up this week?
Yeah, so we're going to be having a recruiting update with top Louisville target, Selah Brown from Mail. He's going to talk about what football is like with the coronavirus in the landscape and just give us a little update on his recruitment and where things stand. So be sure to look out for that.
I'm interested in hearing about that because we already earlier this year heard our guy, former Louisville and an NFL linebacker, Preston Brown, talked to us about how different it was to play football. He's currently not playing anywhere because of the coronavirus. And he said, you know, he gave us a different perspective. So go back to that podcast episode, listen to that, but shout out to him. But again, check out CardinalSportsZone.com for all the recruiting exclusives. That is the place it all began. Shout out to everyone out there that is sharing the podcast. We appreciate your love and support. Keep doing it, keep sharing it, and we'll keep making them. If you have any ideas or suggestions for guests or topics or segments, shoot me a DM. Shoot any of us a DM, even Higgy if you'd like to. I'm not really sure why. But, I give Higgy and Sean a lot of crap, but and you all like it. Everything I hear is, man, this is just like six people around the table just hanging out talking sports, and that's what we want it to be. We don't want it to seem like it's corporate ran or anything very, very serious. We want to sit here and give our serious thoughts, but also have a little bit of fun. And they're very, very good sports. If I was them, I probably would have quit the podcast by now. But they haven't, thankfully. And we appreciate and love y'all for that. So individually on Twitter and social media, I'm at Jeremy_CSZ. I forgot to say this earlier. Sean is?
At Elville Sean.
Sam?
Baseboy124.
Joey?
Joe Wallman 526, and if you know, like 291-5878. If you just want to, you know, like chat a little bit, I'm not afraid to shoot my shot. You know, so if there's any single women out there,
did he just give his number? Just
I don't care. They're Cards fans.
Okay, Mike Jones.
Yeah, yeah. The Cards fans.
That's his legit number. Dalton's
hit your boy up.
Defense_.
And Higgy's is?
I am the Higgy.
And he is the Higgy. Any last words? Higgy, I'll let you go first.
Nope. Everybody stay safe this week, and let's beat Florida State Saturday.
Dalton?
I don't have any, but Dexter has some. He just wanted to say, Sean, you're on my bad side. And,
I thought it was Seth.
Yeah, I'm Seth now. Yeah, I'm Seth. He's Jerry. You're Dexter.
Hey, Dalton has some sisters, too. He just hadn't shown us their pictures yet, so I don't want him to feel left out. I don't want him to feel left out. But anyway, so Joey's going for the phone.
It's all right, fellas. You ain't got a chance anyway.
All right.
I've always got a chance.
You don't.
Joey?
Help control the pet population. Get your pet spayed or neutered. Shout out to Bob Barker.
Sam?
How am I supposed to follow that?
I don't know. I really
you
don't.
Know, just, I legit drop, just thought of that.
Just drop a random informational.
Good Sean a day 2020.
Oh, by the way, next Saturday, again, I reminded y'all last week, but next Saturday, trash service starts again. Maryland plays Northwestern.
Sean, did you have anything?
Just wear your mask, people, please.
Just wear
your,
I have something to say. Since Dad's went to the hospital, we have not won a game. So, Dad, I'm blaming this all on you. Until next time, this has been the Cardinal Sports Zone Podcast.
Come on out to Four Pegs Beer Lounge.
And that's the wrong outro.
Four Pegs has the best and most rolls for your eating pleasure.
Next to Higgins.
With daily specials on food and drink.
Get shot of day 2020. Anything can happen.
Four Pegs is the place for you.
Yeah, we are.
One of my favorite things about Four Pegs.
Come on, ladies. Help us out.
Other than the food, it's a great atmosphere and fun time that you can have.
Let's go!
Chris is a community pillar and a great guy. And you can tell him he wants everyone to have a great time. For more info and daily specials, give our guy Chris a call at 502-634-1447. That's 502-634-1447. Four Pegs Beer Lounge.
Come on up to Altitude Trampoline Park of Lake, located in the heart of Shop. We are a huge, bright, family-friendly trampoline park. We offer large, specific birthday parties with top-notch wild experiences and 2 hours of jump time. With every party, our passions for family fun are competitive with the other guys. Make sure you check out our foam area.